So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the evolution of a training program for tribal public health and emergency preparedness law. And again, I'm Tina Botcher-Hershey from the University of Pittsburgh. I'm an assistant professor, and I also work at the Center for Public Health Practice there. I have no relationships to disclose. So today we're going to talk about explaining why we need to talk about increasing tribal public health capacity, and really explaining what legal preparedness means. There needs to be some background there. And we're going to talk about the development of tribal public health laws and other legal preparedness materials. I'm going to talk to you about how we develop this collaborative curriculum and further incorporated tribal perspectives into the training program. And then also talk about how we chose our venues and our speakers and walk you through some evaluation data and some key findings we have. So first, some background about what legal preparedness means. The law is the foundation upon which public health response is based. And legal preparedness is an important component of public health because laws are used to establish public health programs, and those programs and agencies focus on disease prevention and health promotion. And they also direct the emergency response, so the laws are very important to the whole process. So when we talk about public health legal preparedness, we are really talking about requiring effective legal authority for achieving a couple of goals. First of all, to effectuate our public health goals. Also, to coordinate public health response across jurisdictions. We have a lot of governments involved, state, local, federal, and now when we talk about tribes, you add another layer there. So there needs to be a lot of coordination. And then also, there are disputes that inevitably arise in these situations so that we need to have a process to address those. So tribes are actually sovereign nations. They have a nation-to-nation relationship with the United States government, and they have the inherent authority to protect the health and welfare of their citizens, which includes the creation of their own laws and regulations, and they also can undertake measures to protect public health in terms of emergency response, so that means planning for an emergency and then also responding to the emergency afterwards. However, a lot of tribal communities have not yet developed public health codes or exercised their public health authority. So there is we've identified a gap there in that development of legal preparedness at the tribal level. There is a complex history surrounding the relationship of tribal governments with the United States federal government as well as state governments. And I think a lot of us are aware of that, but then there's also a complex history related to the delivery of public health services in Indian country. The Indian Health Service, or IHS, which you'll see throughout this presentation, they are the major source of public health services in many tribal communities. However, there are some tribal governments that have taken responsibility for delivery of public health services in their nation. IHS is still very heavily involved, but there is a movement to take the public health responsibility back. Tensions can arise because of all those governmental players that we talked about, state, tribal, local, federal, and so there can be difficulties there. So that means navigating public health and emergency response in Indian country can often be challenging. So the training program I'm going to talk to you about was developed from a state court, a state judge training program that I've been hosting since 2010, and that's funded by the CDC Public Health Law Program. We train judges about their powers in public health emergencies. And this map shows where we've been over the last 5 years. The blue is the judge trainings, the orange is tribal, and then California had both separately. So you see we've been busy, we've been all across the country, and we are hoping to continue the program in the future. The training program is called Preparing for a Public Health Emergency, a Law and Science Workshop. And so recent public health emergencies, including infectious disease outbreaks and natural disasters like flooding, have demonstrated that tribal public health infrastructure needs to be further developed. And so we as I said, with the CDC's Public Health Law Program, we developed this program, and also with the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. So the goal is to develop and ensure that a well-trained workforce and infrastructure are available in the event of a public health emergency. And we all know that they're going to happen, and so we need to be prepared. So from the map, you saw there are three trainings that have been held since 2012, and we have additional workshops planned for the future. So the first training was in July 2012 in Tucson, Arizona. And we strive very hard to have the trainings at tribal locations. So the first training was held at the Desert Diamond Casino and Resort, which is a property of the Tohono O'odham Nation. And it was a two-day training, as I said, in July 2012. So we have a sponsor, Chester Antone, who is the Tohono O'odham Legislative Councilman, and he is the co-chair of the CDC's TAC, the Tribal Advisory Committee. So he really helped us and helped us focus on that region. We also worked very closely with the Arizona Department of Health Tribal Liaison, Michael Allison. So I talked about that state court training. This first tribal training was really taking that state court program and kind of just transferring over to the tribal level. So it was really adapting that program. And we invited tribal judges from Arizona, New Mexico, and California to attend, and we had 45 attendees. So just as a sidebar, the extent of the tribal judiciary really varies from tribe to tribe. Some tribes have very well-developed judicial systems and lots of judges, where others just have a few, and some tribes don't have any judges. So there's a wide variety of judicial systems in tribal nations. So as I said, we had 45 attendees, 13 of which were tribal judges. The remaining participants were tribal and state public health officials. So we had practitioners call and ask if they could attend too, or, you know, my judge can't come, can I come instead? So here are the training topics. And we sort of set the stage with the history of public health threats to kind of explain why we were there. And then there was a science piece. Excuse me. We talked about, you know, the nature of infectious disease, how diseases are transmitted, public health practice and science, which is really explaining what public health is and what disease surveillance means and what epidemiology means. And then everybody's favorite, bioterrorism. It's the fun topic. And then we switch over to legal issues and talk about jurisdiction and cross-border issues and tribal public health law and the role of tribal courts in the administration of public health. For a lot of these sessions, we used panels of speakers to represent those different levels of government that I've spoken about because they do offer different perspectives. And then we had additional speakers, including the former principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Chad Smith, and Cliff Rees from the Network for Public Health Law. So response to this first training was overwhelmingly positive, with 100% of the respondents giving the seminar a 4 or 5 out of a 5-point scale. As you see from this quote, we need more of this kind of presentation and training in tribal public health law and practice. So we really did identify a need here to further this goal. So participants were really pleased that there was an effort made to reach the tribal judiciary, and encouraged that we continue the program and reach more tribal judges. The panel sessions were very popular in having those representatives from different levels of government, but participants really wanted to see more tribal level participation at the speaker level. The most important issue that was raised was the lack of public health infrastructure, and that includes the laws themselves, but then also epidemiology and surveillance. That wasn't happening to the extent that was necessary to track and prevent and then respond to a public health infectious disease emergency. There was also the historical distrust of the federal government still remained. I mean, that was definitely talked about when we were in Arizona. So we took what we learned in 2012 and then did a second training in the Pacific Northwest. And we chose the Pacific Northwest because at the Arizona training, people were talking about, you know, we heard that there were memoranda of understanding that existed between tribes and county governments in Washington. So, you know, can you figure out what's going on there? So that's what we did. And this training was held at the Tulalip Resort and Casino, which is a property of the Tulalip tribe. It's near Seattle, Washington. And this training was also 2 days. The state court trainings range from an afternoon to 2 days. And so the tribal trainings have been 2 days, and then the last one I'll talk about was a day and a half. And for this training, we worked closely with the National Indian Health Board and the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. So we did expand the audience here. We invited tribal judges, but we expanded the audience to include tribal council members and tribal public health officials. So we invited them from Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. We had 38 attendees, and they range from tribal judges and court administrators, tribal prosecutors. We had state health department tribal liaisons, state health officers and epidemiologists, tribal public health officials, community health representatives, and tribal consultants. So it's a real hodgepodge of people who came, which made the discussion very interesting. So we really emphasized that the idea that tribal public health infrastructure needs to be further developed, and then the legal avenues to address jurisdictional barriers. So these are the sessions that we added. We added a session about the importance of legal preparedness, you know, why are we here? We had Carolyn Hornbuckle from the National Indian Health Board give a historical overview of the history of tribal governance, which was really interesting to a lot of people there who really weren't familiar with the evolution of tribal governance. The mutual aid agreements and memorandum of understanding that we were asked to figure out, you know, that was a session. Malia Villegas from the National Congress of American Indians presented, in part, a current public health authority in Indian country. The National Congress had done a survey of tribal governments and their public health authority, so she presented some findings from that. We had developing tribal public health codes from Christine Folsom-Smith from the National Tribal Judicial Center. And then data sharing and privacy issues. That's a big topic because of there's perceived to be a barrier that information is not shared with tribal governments from the state or the federal government that because of HIPAA. And that was presented by Victoria Warren Mears from the Northwest Tribal Epidemiology Center. So tribal epidemiology centers, or TECs, are 12 all across the country, and they provide data support to tribal governments in those regions. So again, this workshop was well received, and participants really felt that the information was very important for Indian country, with 86% giving an overall impression of a 4 or 5. And you see from this quote, this seminar has sparked ideas about updating our code and also to develop protocols for dealing with people who have infectious diseases and open court cases. So it's really getting the wheels turning, which is really one of our goals here. The most valuable session was that mutual aid agreement session that, you know, we were told to do. But participants really felt that the focus was still on the tribal judiciary and it needed to take a step back and really start at the public health official level and tribal council level, not at the judiciary, because if you don't have the codes and you don't have the laws, then you really don't need the judges at that yet. You don't need the judges yet. All right, so we take what we hear and we develop that and you know, we listen. So we did, we went back to Arizona because we felt like we needed to do it again and do it right. So this was just in June of this year, and we really expanded the audience. So tribal judges were still included, but we really focused on public health officials and practitioners, doctors, nurses, health and environmental directors, epidemiologists, tech, that tribal epidemiology center employees, legislative aides and policy liaisons, and we expanded the region. There were 6 states, Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah. So we had 44 participants, and this was a day and a half training. And again, we had a wide variety of public health officials and people in emergency management roles. This time, the emphasis was really on collaboration and coordination among the different levels of government, learning from that mutual aid agreement in Washington and talking about how agreements like that and how there could be coordination between those levels of government. So we added a keynote address, and that was by Sarah Deer from the William Mitchell College of Law, and she's a 2014 MacArthur Fellow, and she talked about tribal sovereignty and public health law and how they go together. And she had a focus on domestic violence because that's what she does, but she really did a great job about tying together public health and sovereignty and using domestic violence as an example. Probably the most popular session was something called Federal Agencies, Resources and Opportunities in Emergency Preparedness. And this was a session with 3 speakers from FEMA, the IHS and CDC. I'm really talking about technical assistance opportunities and resources that were available to tribal governments and how they could take advantage of those resources. We also had a session about emergency declarations. And then we had Richard Flores from the National Tribal Emergency Management Council talk about tribal emergency management in practice. He was a former special advisor to FEMA about tribal issues and preparedness, so he talked about his experience there as well as his experience in emergency management at sort of this national level. So we had a great response for this workshop. This is a great learning tool and should be considered as a required training for public health professionals with tribal governments and health systems in their jurisdictions. And the workshop was a great learning environment because it was based on real-life situations. And that real-life situation is we wrap up the workshop with case studies, and we walk through scenarios. So how are you going to actually apply this science information? How are you going to apply the legal information that we just learned? And that was considered to be probably the most useful of the sessions. Like I said, that federal resource session was really popular, and just learning about tribal sovereignty was very popular. So there were some lessons learned from these three trainings. So we had some valuable insight about tribal legal preparedness, and really the basic finding is that continued efforts need to be made to strengthen tribal public health infrastructure. So again, we go back to that infrastructure idea that this still needs to be work done for the infrastructure. So emphasis should focus on development of tribal public health codes that clearly delineate the responsibility among officials to coordinate emergency response. But those laws need to be specifically tailored to each tribe to address their culture and customs. There is no one-size-fits-all method in terms of writing those codes. And again, going back to that mutual aid agreement and memorandum of understanding idea, just really taking that and using those types of agreements and data sharing agreements to coordinate and collaborate across jurisdictions. There are existing agreements that are available that can be used as models, but again, there needs to be customization to reflect the tribal culture and customs. The trainings are actually a really valuable resource in the connections and the person-to-person connection. I mean, you watch people exchange cards and continue their relationships afterwards. We know for a fact that the FEMA, IHS, CDC relationships are continuing, and those were developed at this training and the other trainings as well. So those connections can be very important in the event of an actual emergency, and they're vitally important. We've heard discussion about online trainings, and we're considering taking part of this and making it online as well to reach a bigger audience. But those in-person trainings really do matter, and they allow you to make those connections. I would like to acknowledge our funding. It's from the CDC, CDC's Public Health Law Program, and it's a sub-award from the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. And I wanted to also acknowledge my fellow authors, Montrese Ransom, Isla Haas, and Alyssa Lynn.